Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is the bye is over. Bye, bye, bye. I sat around all weekend, watched football, and hung out with our friends from Ravens Roost 50, which I allegedly helped found 25 years ago. They were telling me memories of things I did. Good things, not the bad things. I remember every bad thing I did. It's the good things that I did that sometimes I forget. We were over in Kearney the other night, and I knew I was in trouble on my way in, and Joe Slifka was on his way out from the old barn owner. He's like, "You better get in there. They're waiting for you." I thought he was like making. They were waiting, and we were dancing, and we were eating, and there were great cupcakes. So, big thanks, big appreciations to all Ravens fans who listen, old school Ravens folks, Roost folks, participated in Ocean City so many times. And if you want me to come out and give you some books, throw me an email, ness@baltimorepositive.com. We're going to be throwing crab cakes around only once this week. We're going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday. Beginning next week, we're going to have a deuce on Tuesday. We're going to be at Amici's. I'm going to be hard-pressed to get a crab cake at Amici's, but I am going to get to Pani Rotondo, and I'm going to introduce the world to my favorite meatballs. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be at Costas. I'll have two crab cakes. I have the Crab Imperial on Costas. At Costas on Wednesday. That's the 18th. We'll be over there. Or 17th. We'll be here. 18th. We'll be over there. 17th Amici's. 18th. At Costas. Shh, it's a mouthful. My friends at Jiffy Lube, MultiCare, Power Luke Up, getting back and forth to Owings Mills in what should be a normal week this week, Luke. I guess to say normal, they're going to go to New York. They're going to play a football game against a really bad team. And then, like, the clock's going to start ticking on them for those two games. And we watched everybody else in the league play this weekend, and the bye came late. And then there was the Deontay Johnson incident that was so last week, but it was quite a weekend on the couch to watch the Chiefs sort of squirm around with the Chargers a little bit, watching injuries happen in various cases, and watching teams try to prove where they are in the cosmos here as we get into the middle of December.
Yeah, and not really a whole lot of help for the Ravens. The Chargers lost, right? So that helps in terms of the Ravens moving up to the number five spot, the top wild card spot in the AFC. But you get a chance to survey, you get a chance to look around the league, and you're reminded what we always say. One, it's a week-to-week league. Two, every team has its issues, right? Even the best of the best. I mean, maybe Detroit would be the one team, but even the Lions, they're ravaged with injuries on the defensive side of the football, despite the fact that they keep winning. Kansas City, who is 12-1.
Well, the best teams look vulnerable. The Bills were losing by three touchdowns at halftime.
Right, right. So I think that's where you look at it, and that's not to say, oh, well, the Ravens are the best, or oh, well, the Ravens are completely fine. No, that's not what we're saying here, but it's a reminder that there's still 4 weeks to go. There's still a lot of sorting out needing to be done. The Ravens, despite all the disappointment of having lost two of three going into the bye week at 8-5, and really being behind the eight ball, two games behind Pittsburgh, knowing that when they play the Steelers a week from this coming Saturday, that the division's going to be on the line, right? It's that they have to win or the division shot at that point. But it's a reminder that all these teams have imperfections. So when you look at the Ravens and you say, okay, well, I don't like this or I don't like that, every team has those discussions. Every fan base, every media, every coaching staff, every team has those discussions in terms of what needs to get better, what needs to improve. You alluded to it with this Deontay Johnson suspension. That's just been bizarre. I'm still skeptical how much we're going to see this guy on this football team, beyond the suspension this week. At some point in time, you're talking about, is the juice worth the squeeze? I mean, there hasn't been any juice to this point in time. So, you have that.
Well, Brian Billick would always say those who can't are no better than those who won't. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if he refused to go into the, well, let's talk about it for 2 minutes, even though it's two more minutes that he's played.
And it's like, old news at this point, but yeah, sure.
I would just say in any season, I mean, I wrote two books. I gave them out to the Roost people. They had happy endings. I mean, they were perfect seasons. There was nothing perfect about either one of those Super Bowl championships, right? Like, the whole story is how everything went wrong and they still managed to win. Or the perception was that there were a lot of challenges, in order for them to win. In this particular year, the Marcus Williams thing, which we've given a lot of oxygen to, the offensive line, which at various points was teetering on being a plus and not a minus, you know, for at various points. The Derrick Henry storyline, all the storylines, the wide receiver part of this is it felt like when they picked him up, that wasn't a need. It felt like all they said about Bateman getting better felt like it could get there. Zay Flowers makes commercials. He's going to the Hall of something, right? Andrew's still here, likely. They had receivers. Aguilar, they liked him enough to bring him back. They like him enough to put him on the field 12, 15 weeks into this. And they like him enough to throw him the ball, right? So it really was always a little bit of a weird thing. And they got him for a bag of donuts. But bringing in trauma, bringing in drama, bringing in any. That's unusual. And that being said, when you were like, it's bizarre, and I'm like, it must involve a National Football League wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, and let's be clear, this isn't something that I have grave concerns about. I think if Deontay Johnson, if there's a whiff of anything else, I think at that point you suspend him again, you deactivate him, you send him home, you release him, however you want to handle it,
Eddie
right?
Jackson's gone, right?
Sure, exactly. So, but all that being said, the exact scenario that played out against Philadelphia is why you brought Deontay Johnson in, right? I mean, it was a case where Rashad Bateman leaves the game midway through the third quarter, knees bothering him a little bit. And he's someone who, despite his reputation, has a Pro Bowl season under his belt, has what, 1,100 yards, 100 catches, I think, back in 21 with Pittsburgh. I mean, this guy is a productive player and even was productive for Carolina from a statistical standpoint earlier this year.
Dude,
But
you've been here 5 weeks, and you brought him up a lot because every Monday morning you're like, he's like a real wide receiver. They brought him; he's a real guy. Like you feel that way about him, and clearly they felt some plus way about him to be motivated to deal for him.
sure, exactly. So I for me, it's not that he can't play, but everything you just laid out, and we've talked about this. We were talking about this before Deontay Johnson came on the radar, in saying there's one football. When you have a running back like Derrick Henry, a backup running back like Justice Hill, I mean, we haven't talked about it. Keaton Mitchell hasn't even been able to get on the field. And look, a big part of that is working his way back to pre-injury form. He's healthy enough to play, but not healthy to the point that he's pre-injury, no scar tissue, anything like that. So you have that running game. You have Lamar Jackson who takes off and runs still, even if he doesn't do it as much as he used to. And you have the pass catching targets that you mentioned. So all along, it felt curious from the standpoint of how involved is he really going to be in this offense, unless something happens to Zay Flowers, unless something happens to Rashad Bateman. So from that standpoint, and we took some pause with this, and I remember writing about this the day that they acquired him, from the standpoint of remembering Pittsburgh traded him away at a time where they weren't exactly enjoying an embarrassment of riches in skill talent. They gave, they didn't give him away. I mean, it was a legit trade that they made with Carolina. They got a, they got
$17
a.
million dollar a year player, right?
I mean that kind, yeah, sure. But you look at that, you look at the fact that Carolina 6 weeks into this thing, despite the fact that the Panthers are the Panthers right now, they dealt him away, knowing that if they just let him walk and he got any kind of a decent deal in free agency, he'd get a fetch them a compensatory pick, and they wanted to get rid of him. So some of this is,
They didn't
and
want him in the building, clearly, right? Like they're an
yeah.
awful
Yeah,
team and
for
thought he's going to make us worse. There are definitely guys that when you're losing, you don't need losers. You got enough losing going around. You don't need losers.
yeah,
So, like,
and look,
part
I
of
don't want to.
that is like, hey, dude, out. And look, man, you and I could do a fun shtick right now, taking phone calls at 410-481-1570 about who was the biggest douche wide receiver in the history of histories. Beginning with name anyone, Michael Irvin, I don't know. I mean, before him, I'm sure there were guys that were Rod Tidwell for crying out loud. He's fictitious. You know what I mean? So I'm just, but from Antonio Brown straight on through, pick any of these guys that Terrell Owens, I mean, maybe the greatest wide receiver ever. I saw Randy Moss has some physical challenges right now and wish him well. He was kind to me the two times I've met him in life, but also another guy that was sort of like marched to his own beat and that's a wide receiver thing. And as much trouble as they put into all of these guys, giving them the PP test and the psychological test and the Rorschach test and the sit and talk to me, and we're going to get to know everybody in Indianapolis. The fact that they would bring a guy in that can't get along in the middle of a season when they already had wide receivers, I just find that to be curious. I mean, I find that to be like sort of the last thing Eric and John, the reason they threw me out is they don't want drama around there, and I ask questions about things like this.
Well, I think I understood it on paper, but there was the factor of the background. And also, and this is where I empathize to a degree, not to the point where I accept someone saying, hey, I'm not going into the game. He's in a contract year, right? So he already was dealt in March, goes to a team that had a very problematic quarterback situation at the time, despite the fact that Bryce Young is playing much better for the Panthers, who gave the Eagles everything they could handle on Sunday. But he's in a contract year. So there's a business element to this when you come in for a new team, middle of the season, trying to get up to speed, knowing they already have some talent, knowing they're not necessarily looking to chuck the ball 40 times to the wide receivers at the very least, right? I mean, I think we can all agree on that, even if you and I have
Could have
debated
called
how.
Willie Snead in the beginning and said, dude, you're
Yeah,
not going to get the ball there much, even if you're
right.
the one.
Exactly.
Say
Exactly.
Flowers isn't getting the ball as much as he would in another offense.
Sure. Exactly. But guys are okay with that typically when they're winning. But, and this is where I kind of laugh because I go back to just a few weeks ago when Mike Tomlin was asked about Diontae Johnson. And part of his exact quote was, they've got more significant pieces with larger roles that occupy my attention. I mean, Mike Tomlin was basically trolling Diontae Johnson a few weeks ago in terms of like, why are you guys asking me about him? He's a non-factor for them right now. Now, all of that being said, if this was his proverbial see the light moment in terms of knowing, hey, suspended against the Giants. It's the worst team left on the schedule. This might have been a game where I might have gotten some opportunities coming out of the bye week. Todd Monken and the coaching staff aren't naive enough to think, hey, there's probably some ways that we can work Diontae Johnson into this thing. Let's think about this. Let's brainstorm this. Let's go into the lab during the bye week and figure that out. No, the story on him was he refused to go into the game on Sunday to the point where they either we're going to release him, which I think was absolutely on the table. If you heard John Harbaugh's answers to our questions last Monday, or they end up suspending him for one game, which that's what they ultimately did. So instead of Todd Monken and the coaching staff having the mindset of how do we, let's utilize this guy a little bit. It's been tough for him. It's been tough for us. Things have been going well that we didn't want to rock the boat too much and try to force him into the equation, but instead, it's been way more, well, this guy's a problem. This guy's a distraction. This guy wouldn't go in when we needed him.
That's
That for
insane, dude. I mean, like,
oh,
sure,
sure,
the
no
fact that he's
question.
still on the team and that
That's a
Harbaugh still
right.
ha that he still have the codes to the building to get in is amazing to me. I
Well,
mean,
there's
like, I don't know even though what that speaks to, other than maybe they feel a little bit desperate keeping him around. I'm like, I don't know what their upside is with a guy that I'm sure that Mike Tomlin, when that question was asked 3 weeks ago, and I haven't spoken to Mike since you saw me speak to Mike back in
Right.
March, but I know Mike pretty well. I know Mike better than I know John, like in what he would really say to me, because Mike said it to me 100 times. I would see where Mike would say, that's a benefit to me that Deontay Thompson's with the Ravens, because he's going to go in there and be a pain in the ass. And I could see Mike saying, and I could also see the Ravens saying, Mike Tomlin didn't want him last year. He couldn't make hay with the Panthers. We're not going to get him the ball. He might not be the right guy for our building at Halloween.
Well, and that's why they didn't give up anything real for him, right? I mean, you're not going to give up a third or a fourth round pick. This ended up being a fifth round pick for him and a sixth round pick, right? So
Dude, I remember the hour-long conversation I had with Brian Billick at my condo in 2003, wandering amongst all these boxes when I had just moved in because nothing was put down. And I just remember walking around and having Billick say, "We have Ray, we have Ed, we're going to absorb Terrell Owens." He kept
yeah.
saying, "We're going to absorb, absorb." And I'm thinking to myself, they all think they can coach him up because they
Sure.
see what you see, which is, hey,
Scott
Dude's a
Dillon,
wide receiver, and we've tried for years to get a real one here. He's a real one if you can just coach him up. And every time I see Ed Reed doing a commercial, I have to chuckle a little bit because Ed was a handful to manage. Hall of Fame talent, Hall of Fame everything, but no coach ever, ever saw the plane with Ed Reed as a player. And we think of him now, gray hair, venerable, agreeable, having a drink, having a smoke, whatever. I'm, you know, like it is amazing how time treats players who can play. Randy Moss being another one who was, you know, an incredible player, Terrell Owens, but they all think that they can fix and heal young men of talent. They do. Earl Thomas being, I'll just leave you the floor with that one.
And obviously that's a name to at least mention in passing at the very least. But
$55 million, that's all.
the difference with Ed Reed, to your point, he posted up on Sundays. You knew, for as much as there might be times where Ed's not in the best mood, hood's up, leave him alone, he's going to be there on Sunday. So when that happens with Diontae Johnson or any player, I'm not trying to single him out. To me, it's just the act of saying I'm not going into the football game. And we haven't heard his side of the story, but I think it's pretty evident. And I can tell you from the very first, I want to say the first or second game he played with the Ravens when he wasn't heavily involved, there was evidence in the locker room that he wasn't thrilled, right? I mean, and let me be clear, I'm not trying to sensationalize this, not throwing things or having a tirade or anything like that, but you could kind of tell that he was disappointed. I'll leave it at that. So, look, I think this is very simple.
All these guys that are Rod Tidwell, he's getting on a plane coming to Baltimore. They're 7-2 at the time, or whatever they were.
Sure.
And you know, like, and he's thinking he's going to get 8 balls a week. I mean, what?
Well, I mean, I
Nobody
don't know
gets
if he
eight balls.
thought.
No, but I mean, I don't know what
Probably
you.
thought he was going to get two or three at least, and
Okay, we're
he's gotten
trying to
zero.
reason with Todd Rod Tidwell, and they made movies about that,
Well,
right?
but
So
at the
yeah.
same time, but that, again, that's where I empathize to a point. To a point, I'm emphasizing that I am empathetic, knowing that it's a contract year and this is costing him money. But at the end of the day, he's costing himself money, much more so by conducting himself in this way. So, look, we're going to see how this plays out. I'm still not convinced we're going to see this guy play another game for the Ravens. We'll see.
We
I
might have
mean, it's
spent
that
10 more
simple.
minutes on him than his whole career here is worth.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. I mean, we've already spent six times the amount of time in minutes
My
discussing him
curiosity
than
is
his
just
number
in
of
the Ravens
catches.
inviting this in when they have the wisdom that they have. That's all.
Oh,
That's all. Because I
but you
think of
just
them as being real smart guys.
right. But you
You
just said
know,
but you
but.
just said it. I mean, even 20 years ago, they thought the same thing when Terrell Owens, who was a much better, much, much, much better player than Diontae Johnson at the time, but the cost and all of that was much higher
Dude,
than what
Tom
this
Brady
is.
laid out to have Antonio Brown be his roommate when he was a billionaire, broke up his marriage
Sure.
to try to win a Super Bowl
And
because
Antonio
these
Brown
guys are.
still, and Antonio Brown to this day still talks smack about him. So it's, yeah. I mean, it's just, look, and you just met, maybe it's just a Pittsburgh thing. I mean, Tomlin at this point, he's handling George Pickens right now, who's a tremendous talent, but you can see needs to grow up. I mean, Mike Tomlin has said that publicly as recently as what, last Sunday. He needs to grow up. So,
All these young men have a maturity problem. You know, they all the eggs aren't broken the same way. I should do my whole Tomlin. That'd be
Yeah,
funny.
but my
Oh,
big
wait, that's
takeaway,
next week. We play them next week.
my big takeaway from this is I hope Rashad Bateman's knee is all right after the bye, right? I mean, I think because you can't count on this guy. That skill set would be nice if his head was on right and if he was in the kind of place where he could check the ego and realize, hey, this is what it is. I can still make a big play or two at some point in time and help this team win, especially if Zay Flowers or Bateman aren't on the field for whatever reason. But I think that scenario is far less likely than this guy maybe hangs around another week or two, or maybe not. Maybe at the end of the suspension, he still doesn't want to be here, and the Ravens say, "All right, this is it. This is over. Go home." So we'll see how it plays out. But I don't want to make too much of it.
I just don't think
And
it's crap John needs during bye week, quite frankly, right?
yeah,
Like,
well, and not just John, but think about your teammates. I mean, put the coaches aside, right? Players are get ticked off at coaches. Even the best players, even the best coaches, there are times where you're ticked off at your coach. For you to look at your teammate and he doesn't want to go into the game, I mean, how does he step back into that locker room and look his teammates in
And
the
Ray Lewis
eye?
wouldn't like that. Roquan Smith
Right,
doesn't like
exactly.
that.
Lamar Jackson doesn't like that. I mean, Lamar Jackson wants to win, right? I mean, Lamar was trying to make peace about it after the game when he was asked about Deontay Johnson before we knew exactly what happened, when it was just, hey, why didn't he play? Lamar was trying to kind of pacify the situation a little bit, but those guys were ticked. Those guys were thinking, how can we trust him? So it's going to be interesting, right? I mean, this week he's suspended, and then we'll see what happens after that. It's hard to say it's consequential from a football standpoint because he's barely played, right?
Yeah, in
But
other news, they're 8-5 and they just lost and they're playing a
exactly.
crappy team. And
Yeah. So it's
and
just.
they're you know, just in a general sense, to bring it full circle, because we haven't talked in a week, just they're in a little bit of a pickly situation right now. And to your point, watching the league, it's week to week. It's how's your quarterback doing? The Bills don't travel well. Oh, you know, they're going to get that when they go out to LA and don't play well like that. So the teams that are in your way and the teams you're going to have to beat, I still look at Kansas City. I look at Buffalo and say, all right, 60 minutes in Kansas City. It's 38 degrees. It's January 15th. You have to go there because you beat Houston and you won a game. How are
Right.
you going to get there? And I know you're full, and so is John Harbaugh and everybody in the organization on how do we run the table here and take our chances to still win the division, because that's still the best pathway for this thing.
It is, but at the same time, you're two back. I mean, you obviously must win over Pittsburgh or it's over in a couple weeks, but you're going to have to look for them to lose a couple more games beyond that. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Even if you beat Pittsburgh, there's still. They've got to lose again, and you look at, okay, what's the division record and all that. So there's work to do here. I mean, and the Ravens have to win out, right? I mean, for the division, I mean, they can't afford to lose another football game. So it's not impossible when you look at the schedule. I mean, at the Giants, I mean, boy, you want to talk about a lousy football team. The New York Giants might be the worst of the worst, but you got to go handle your business. Then Pittsburgh, and to your point, you've got this stretch of three games in 11 days. Weird week, Saturday game, Wednesday game, better than anyone. These guys are creatures of habit. Sunday 1 o'clock is not what the Ravens are going to be dealing with the rest of the way. I mean, other than this Sunday, they might not play another one because it's TBD as far as week 18 and playing Cleveland when they're going to play them. So it's strange in that regard. But at the same time, from a talent level standpoint, all these games, I mean, even Pittsburgh, they're playing at home, they're playing in Baltimore. They should be favored in these games. They should win these games, but are you going to win all four? It's time to be consistent. It's time to get on a roll. It's time to.
You think going to Houston on Christmas night's a, I mean, that's a really.
I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but I put it this way, I would expect the Ravens to be favored in that game.
Well, they'll have to go back down there and
I'm
do it
not
again
saying they're
2 weeks
favored by
later, right?
eight. I'm not saying they're favored by eight or anything crazy, but they're favored in that game. I mean, Houston's been very inconsistent, right? I mean, they're leading that division because, well, that division stinks, right? And I think Houston still has the makings of a pretty good team, but they haven't been consistent. They've had their issues and they've had some injuries. And CJ Stroud, for as much as even guys like me, because I was so impressed with how he played last year, year two's been a little more, it's been underwhelming for him, relative to what we saw his rookie year. But hey, it's a 4 week regular season. If you're the Ravens, you're coming out of this bye week knowing that, hey, we're preparing to play eight more games. That's the goal right now. That's the objective, to play eight more games. If they do that, they're playing in New Orleans, 2 months from now. So, long way to go to get to that point. But I think one other factor, and I touched on this a little bit with the Deontay Johnson thing, but I wrote about this late last week. Late bye. It's tough getting to that point, but it can be an advantage to be fresher for the stretch run that you just had a week off compared to some of these teams who had their bye back in week five, week six, week seven. So there's that factor. And the other factor that we've talked about a lot, and they're healthy. They're pretty darn healthy relative to what you could deal with, what they have dealt with in
This
the
might be the
past.
healthiest season they've ever had. You know,
It's
I mean, I've
up
watched
there.
them forever. Like, I
Certainly up
can't
there.
remember games started versus games lost. Like, what they dealt with back in 15, what they dealt with 3 years ago when
Yeah.
they did. You know, when Lamar got hurt and everybody else was a mess. 2 years ago, I guess at this point, 3 seasons ago. But yeah, I watching the rest of the teams. There's nobody that's pulling away. I mean, there are a cluster of 8 to 10 teams who have a similar amount of talent, which is the way the football gods draw this up with money. We'll get to Juan Soto later and the Orioles and all that. But it's meant to be balanced, and by and large, it winds up being. I mean, Kansas City has questions, Buffalo has questions, Pittsburgh has questions, and the Ravens will be on the calendar in January. If the Ravens are coming to town, plenty of people are going to like the Ravens on the road with the opportunity to run the football in the cold because they were built to do it. They're built to win in January. They really are.
Well, and I mean, the big question is their offensive line. It's that simple. I mean, the defense, we'll still talk about that because they have to keep doing it every week. And you have a relapse and you give up a 350-yard passing day, then everyone will start talking about it again. But the defense has trended in the right direction. The offense hasn't been as great over the last 3 weeks, or they've gone up against tougher competition. We've talked about it with the O-line, but by and large, the offense has been right there with Detroit as the best in football. And throw Cincinnati in there if you want to, I
I mean,
guess,
dude,
just
I had
because of their
Aaron
offense.
Schatz on 3 weeks ago talking about it being a top 10 all-time offense
Yeah,
3 weeks
and
ago.
look, I mean, I'll be perfectly
Eight and
honest with
five
you.
sucks, but it hadn't been a bad year.
Right, and that's where I kind of look at it through the lens of like, look, the potential is still there, but at the same time, I'm tired of talking about that. I really am. I think the fans are, and I don't mean that in a sense of that it's not a good team or it's not entertaining or anything like that. It's just we're beyond that, right? I don't care if Lamar Jackson's the MVP of the league again. I don't care if the Ravens have 10 guys go to the Pro Bowl, right? Do this in January. You've been talking about it. People have been waiting for it. You're not going to be the number one seed this year. I've said to you how many times, tongue in cheek, but also partly serious as well, about maybe the year that this team breaks through is the year that no one's expecting them to break through, right? And this might be the year, right? They're 8-5. 8-5 is nothing special. But to your point, talking to Aaron Schatz or looking at DVOA or looking at EPA, advanced metrics tell you this is a really good football team. Okay, that's well and good. Go do it then, right? Go do it. Kansas City, I get it. They're 12-1. This isn't the most dominant version of the Chiefs. That doesn't mean the Chiefs aren't going to be there in the end. Let's be clear about that. Let's learn our lesson from a year ago when
Doesn't
everyone was
mean they're
writing them
not
off.
vulnerable. You can't go in there in
Exactly.
January and play great football and have
Same,
a chance to
same.
win.
Buffalo, everyone was crowning them as the best in the AFC. And let me be clear. I don't know if you had a ch how much you had a chance to watch the Buffalo Rams game. What a great football game. I mean, that was high level quarterback play from Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford in that game. But you see Buffalo, their defense, certainly not invincible by any stretch of the imagination. Pittsburgh, okay, they handled their business against the Browns. If you watch Pittsburgh over the course of 60 minutes, there's still a lot that happens in a game where you say, well, that wasn't very good. That's not very impressive. So the point is, with all of this, there is no juggernaut. The closest thing to a juggernaut, I guess, is Detroit. I guess, I mean, they've been really good. I think they're the class of the NFC. And, Philly, there's all, some whispers and some disenchantment about their passing game coming out of their close win against Carolina. But that's the other side of the bracket. Focus on the AFC. The Ravens are right there, right? They're going to be right there playing on the road, most likely, the way this is playing out. But hey, to your point, run game and ascending defense, let's call it. I'm not ready to say it's a great defense yet, but it's ascending. It's getting better. And you have Lamar Jackson, who I'll still take going up against anyone not named Patrick Mahomes. But even through that lens, Kansas City's not invincible, right? And Buffalo's saying the same thing with Josh Allen. And every other team that has a quarterback that they fancy is great. You've got to topple Mahomes. But in terms of this year, 2024, Lamar's played as well, if not better, than any quarterback in football. So, it's right there. You got to go do it. And they're healthy. They've had a late bye, so they hypothetically they should be fresher than other teams coming out of this. So we'll see. I don't think there's anything we're going to be able to glean from the trip up to the Meadowlands against the Giants. I mean, it's
I wonder if
you
they were
better win.
13-point favorite. They would open as a 15-point favorite. The
Really?
Ravens are a 15-point favorite.
I mean,
And the over-under's 43.5.
that's
So
such
they're
a
not
big.
expecting the Giants to get 9.
That's such a big line. I mean, it is. I'm not, I'm not a
I look
gambling
down and
guy.
I'm like, it's 15. What?
I would have said I probably
I
just,
thought
and again,
13. I did think
I
13.
was going to say 12 or 13. Yeah, I mean that's a little on the high side, but again, have you watched the Giants? I mean, even on Sunday, they ended up having a chance at the end of the game, and then this big lineman for New Orleans hops over the line and blocks the field goal. I mean, it was just it was incredible. I was actually joking with one of my good buddies from high school, who's a longtime New York, he's a Jersey guy originally, before he moved to this area, but I joked with him. I said the Giants fans should storm the field and carry that guy off the field to preserve their chance at having the top pick to
That's
get their
what I said to
quarterback.
Jen when it went down. It was Graham Gano got the kick block, right? Yeah.
And
And
he's been hurt most of the year, but yeah.
I saw Brian Daboll and like what the, you got to be
Yeah.
kidding me, you know? Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
So and again, I'm glad you mentioned, we brought this up because obviously the That's it's also a reminder of when you hear fans, and every fan base does this. I'm not picking on Ravens fans, but when you hear fans bellyache about some losses or a stretch of time where your team's not playing as well, when you do have the bye week and you have a chance to put your feet up, you do see that there are some really, really, really lousy football teams around. And you say, all right, things aren't so bad here, right? I mean, Deontay Johnson's a pain in
I
the
saw
butt
Steve
and
Kornacki put the AFC up, when he's doing his whole thing on Sunday Night Football. I said to my wife, 2-9, 2-9, 2-9, 2-9. I'm like, God, Jesus, awful teams in the AFC. All of them. Flush them all down the toilet. All of them.
I mean, it's crazy. Think about the terms that we in which we've talked about the Bengals. And the Bengals are still, I think they're 10th in the AFC right now. And they clear the next team by, I think, a game and a half. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So there are the haves that we've talked about, and there are quite a few have-nots when you talk about Cleveland and
Raiders,
Jacksonville.
Titans, Jaguars, Browns, Patriots, Jets.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a bunch of 3-10 teams right there. I mean,
Ravens
it's
lost to two of them.
they did, and that's what makes this year frustrating. But the league's crazy. It is, right? It's crazy. I mean, we see it. We Carolina, look at how they're playing of late, albeit close losses. But in the last 3 weeks, they almost beat Kansas City and they almost beat Philadelphia, who are two teams that are regarded as two of the best four or five in football right now. So it's the NFL, right? I mean, I hate to be cliche, but it's not a cliche if there isn't, if there's truth to it, and there's truth to it. So you can only control what happens from this point forward. So if you're the Ravens, go up to New York and take care of a awful, awful Giants team. And then after that, it's here we go. And included in that is, don't sleep on the Browns in week 18, right? Don't let what happened with the Raiders and the Browns the first time around, don't let that happen again. Because week 18, the last thing you want is to go on a roll and have a chance. And Pittsburgh's dropped a couple games, and then suddenly you're in a dogfight, no pun intended,
And you
in the
wake up
fourth
in
quarter.
Buffalo on January
Yeah.
10th,
So
you know?
look, long way to go, and the Deontay Johnson thing's weird. It's certainly not what you want, but I'm also not going to be an alarmist about it. To me, again, if he's going to have any further whiff or inkling of trouble, gone. I mean, gone, no questions asked. I don't
How do
care
you
that much
walk
about.
in and look at John Harbaugh on Monday and
Sure.
apologize for not going to the game?
Well,
I don't know how he stays in the building. I really
and
don't.
that's why I still don't know if this is as cut and dried as one game suspension and then he's back in the building. So we're going to see. We'll find that out starting early next week, right? So at that point, whatever. But for everyone else, it's a matter of, hey, get your body right, get your mind right. This is a heck of a stretch coming up with the 3 games in 11 days. Got to be Pittsburgh. Got to run the table if we want to win the division and have a home game in the first round. And beyond that, knowing that you're going to be playing on the road a good bit, the way it's looking right now. So you gear up for that. But all of that being said, all of their issues acknowledged, I still think this is a good football team that, with the potential, and that's at the end of the day, that's not worth much potential, but it's still worth something at this point, with the potential to be a really good or a great football team. But they've got to get there. And that starts on Sunday, going up to the Meadowlands and doing what you need to do and just take care of business. Get in, get out, get the win. Hopefully, no one gets hurt in the process. And then It's big boy time after that.
Oh, the old exit 16W up there in the Secaucus, East Rutherford, New Jersey. Luke will be at the game. He'll be back and forth this week, Jiffy lubing it. This is one week where I'm happy they threw me out. I don't need to go to New Jersey up there and watch a slop, but I'll watch, especially if the weather's good in New York, and send you a good little Italian restaurant I know about up there. Speaking of good little Italian restaurants, our friends at the Maryland Lottery are sending me to Amici's next Tuesday. We're going to be downtown several times this week. We were downtown twice last week. We were at Coco's last week, and moving around and having some fun as well as having some crab cakes. We're going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday afternoon this week. Then next week we move to Amici's on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday at Costas in Dundalk, where I'm sure to have the crab imperial so I can feel like a king. We have tons and tons of great guests. Come on out, say hello. I will give you free scratch offs from the Maryland Lottery. I have some Raven scratch offs. I'm in the hopper to get some gingerbreads or something good for to start the year. Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke. He is back and forth to Owings Mills all week long with updates. If you're on the WNST tech service, brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, you will get all the breaking news first, including when the Orioles signed baseball players. We had a little bit of that happening over the weekend as well. Big thanks to our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter, as well as our friends at Liberty Pure for putting us out on the road for 26 oysters in 26 days. That is also a part of what's going on. And by the way, before we get to Baseball Hall of Fame stuff, Dave Parker and Richie Allen going into the Hall of Fame. I put up some old stories about that up at Baltimore Positive as well. I have some music classic never before heard. I mixed down my chat with Billy Gibbons and Dusty Hill from ZZ Top from the Capitol Center in 1991. I'm still mixing down old tapes of Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. All that will be coming in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, it's crab cakes and caroling and football. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.